All right. We want to invite your attention this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to read verses 9 through 12. Our subject this morning is see, hear, and imagine. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now I'm sure that in your life trying to serve the Lord, you've probably heard these verses used to suggest that no human beings can know what God has waiting for them in eternity. And we find that while it's true that we have only limited ability to imagine what things are prepared for us within the gates of everlasting rest that God has intended for us, as we look at these verses today and the theme of them, I hope every one of us are going to realize that the limit of what we may know right now about the vast glories that God has prepared for us and will share with us in the Lord Jesus Christ are limits that we ourselves, that is our understanding and seeing and feeling and sensing and being aware of those things that God has prepared for us, they are limits that we ourselves set by the level of spiritual aspiration and spiritual growth that each of us move forward in. That's what the limits are. Now, we're a lot like barbarians that are living deep in the jungle, that look over something, see it, hear it, and have feelings and understanding about the jungle. We understand the jungle of the world that's around us, like they do their jungle that they live in. And like them, we use this vast knowledge, or at least part of it, to make assumptions about the whole world that we live in. We tend to do that. Because your reference point for what you believe about the world comes from only from the scope of what you have experienced in living in your part of the world. That's typically human. Now, sometimes we get a little bit more understanding about things of the world by watching things on TV happening across other parts of the world. We get some knowledge about other areas of the world. But for the most part, every one of us have a limited understanding of what this world is all about based on what we've been able to consume with our mind. Now, what the Lord teaches us, though, is that we do not exist in a universe that is completely exposed to us by the senses and human reasons we normally use as fleshly creatures. We don't live in a universe that we fully comprehend the magnitude of, the scope of, and what is really out there. And so we know that our human senses limit what we understand about this world and the universe. Now, there's more than we see here and imagine, folks, about the universe. A lot more. And we could study all of our lives and never get a drop in the bucket of what is out there in God's great created universe. Things we will never understand while we're in this body living in this life. So, getting right to the message of God's Word that we find here in our text, I want us to notice something about what Brother Paul is teaching about our perception of things as human beings and then about our perception of things as children of God. In verse 9, we read again, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor can ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man," that is, the creature, "the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." So it's a fact that human eyes, human ears, and human hearts have been shut out from access to those things belonging to the glories of God, and that have been prepared for His people. The human creature, his ability to perceive these things, has been limited. He's shut out from it. God says so here, although He says it as something that's already happened and been done. He doesn't go into detail about why it happens. We're going to look at a little bit of that. But we realize that He's teaching us that no human that has not experienced salvation by grace. Let me just limit it to that. No human being that's not experienced salvation by grace will ever be able to see, hear, or feel the things belonging to the children of God in that unsaved state. They'll never be able to understand them. They'll never be able to see them in the way that God's talking about here. Now they can see, lost people can see that maybe that you've got something that they don't have. But they don't understand what that something is. They don't see it, as the Bible puts it here. So the unsaved person is a whole lot like the foolish people that God sent Jeremiah speaking to in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 21. Jeremiah said to these people, really God said to them, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not." He says, I admit you've got eyes, but you can't see what I'm teaching. You've got eyes, but you can't understand. You can't look upon it and interpret what's going on there. So there's a blindness, folks, that afflicts the natural man that can't be overcome by any method, means, or prescription up on earth. Can't be done. Now, let me illustrate how that works. All of you are probably familiar with what we call wavelengths or frequencies of light. When you look out that window there, you're looking at a frequency of light that your human eyes are able to translate into brightness of day. Okay? And so you understand what that frequency of light is. But we find that the human eye can only see what we call the visible spectrum of light frequencies. And all other lights, such as, like infrared or ultraviolet light, the human eye doesn't see it. It's there. It's real, and certain scientific measures have been able to identify it. But we can't see it with these eyes that we have. And I think this is a great natural illustration of how that the natural man, looking right at the things of God, will only see through the lens that the natural man eye is able to see through. And he doesn't see the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the Lord Jesus had a little bit to say about this in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 47. And there, He was talking to some Jews about the difference between those that are of God and those that are not. And He says there, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear not, because ye are not of God." And that's exactly the way it is with the vision thing. They see not because they are not of God. Folks, the only reason you see anything about the glories that God has prepared for us is because you have the Spirit of God. You are of God. So in the same way that eyesight is limited to certain light wavelengths, we find that not only are the eyes limited, but the ears also, the hearing of the things of God are limited. We find that hearing of the things of God, as Jesus just put it there in John 8:47, that hearing is like a deafness for the lost man. I might even say he's totally deaf to the sounds of the things coming from God. Oh, he can hear a preacher preach them, but they never sink down to where understanding is at. They never sink down to the hearing of the spiritual ear, because he doesn't have the spiritual ear. You know, just like I mentioned about light waves, there being some that you can see and some you can't, there are sound frequencies that you and I as human beings can hear and some we can't. You can hear a train whistle go by. You can hear your wife hollering at you to come to supper. But if somebody stood outside your door and knocked on the door and you opened the door and right there in your face they blew a dog whistle, you wouldn't hear it. If there were any dogs at home, they'd be howling and screeching because they could hear it. And that's the way it is with the natural man versus God's people. The natural man cannot hear the things of God because they're just, if you will, the Bible says there's so much foolishness unto him. It's like the dog whistle going off. You're going to look at the guy standing at the door and say, "What are you doing?" He might say, "I'm blowing a dog whistle." You'd have to say, "I don't hear anything." And he might say, "No, but your dog does. Listen to him howling." And so it is with lost people, people who are not saved by the grace of God. They do not hear and they do not see the things of God that God has prepared for his people. Now there's also a hardness of the internal senses of feeling and understanding, and I've already hinted at that. In lost people, there's a hardness of heart, a lack of understanding that blocks out the possibility of sensing with any spiritual hearing or spiritual sight. It blocks out the ability to sense what lies within the spiritual world, within the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus had something to say about this also in the book of Matthew chapter 13. In verses 14 and 15, he said, "And then them," talking about unbelievers, those who rejected the gospel message, he said, "And then them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand." Went in the ears, but they didn't understand. "And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." So much Greek to them. They saw the evidence of the presence of the kingdom of God, but they had no perception ability about what was there. He goes on to say in verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart." And there it is. "And should be converted and I should heal them." Understanding with the heart is an impossible task for an unregenerate person if God doesn't do something for them. Now, psychologists call that incapacity rationalism. You may have heard the term. But in regard to spiritual things, the lost man thinks rationally about the things of this world and the things that he can lay his finger upon and the things that he would call philosophies or religion or religious philosophy. He thinks in terms of rationalism about it. It's all about reasonableness to him who is not born again by the Spirit of God. Reasonably, folks, the reasoning man without the Spirit of God, reasonably, he would feel that a world of perfect bliss does not exist. We teach that it does. But in reasonableness, he would say, can't be possible. Reasonably, in a universe where creatures die a physical death, an eternal world where they can live forever is nothing more than fantasy to the rational view of a man. And reasonably, an orderly universe where death and destruction simply do not exist or reign is unreasonable. It cannot exist. Reasonably, the rationalizing person feels that if something is real, there ought to be a way to measure it, to be able to lay a scientific instrument to it, or even use logic and reasoning of the human mind and come up with a way to say, I understand it from the position of human intelligence and human rationalism and human logic. Reasonably, humans without the Spirit of God will think that way. So psychologists call this incapacity that God's speaking about here, they call it rationalism. So, as men, lost men and women, boys and girls, are beset by this incapacity, the human creature that is in them lacks the ability to see, hear, or perceive beyond this physical universe. And that being so, to them, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him are just simply non-existent. They just can't believe that they're really there. Now look at verse 10. And notice that he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now, the first thing that we want to acknowledge in this is that we have something, an ability to see what things God has prepared for them that love Him. We have the ability to see what God has prepared for His people. It's not like we must remain blinded because we got this human flesh. No, God teaches us that we may understand, we may see, we may hear, we may imagine what things God has prepared for us. Now, as we look at that, God has set things up to allow us to see into His blessings that He's prepared, to hear in plain terms about those prepared blessings that He has for us, and to be able to imagine or perceive with the heart what those blessings are. So, let me ask everybody a question. The preacher asked himself the same question. Why is our reality so far from the divine ideal? And by that I mean this. You can imagine that there are blessings and things from God lying in wait for us to be revealed, but you can't even put your arms around the magnitude of them. You have difficulty even perceiving of a little inkling of what they are. Why is there such a disparity between what we really sense and understand lies out there that God has said, I reveal it to you? Why is there such a disparity between what He's opened up and said was available for us to see and understand and what we actually do see and understand? Well, let me just look at a few ideas that probably explain why we don't have the full comprehension of it. And I know that most of you are going to jump right on a couple of these at once. But first of all, as we look at this, let's realize that as human creatures, we're so absorbed with the visible, the earthy. We're so absorbed with that, our own interpretation of the current reality is what we see best and understand best. And because we are so absorbed with it, we set limits on what we see. I mean, I know that we're all inclined to be like Daddy Adam and be skeptical about things that are far and above the normal human process of thinking. And I think that's what we deal with every day. We deal with our own inability to get away from the earthy, get away from what's visible, get away from simply thinking or feeling or unconsciously imagining or feeling that this is all there is. What we can see, touch, feel, this is all there is. We have a difficulty getting away from that. We're not alone. We never have been alone in that. Human beings from the first days of Adam till now deal with that every day. Children of God deal with that every day. A great illustration of how we don't really see what God has for us in its fullness is illustrated in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. Most of you know the story about Elisha and his servant being at Dothan. And the Assyrian army, came down upon the city and surrounded it by night. And when they got up the next morning, the servant went out and looked, and there was an army, thousands upon thousands of Assyrians that had the town surrounded, and they had come for Elisha because the king of Assyria wanted him dead because he knew everything the king of Assyria was planning, and was forewarning the king of Judah that it was going to happen. And so they were surrounded, and the servant said to Elisha, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha said, he didn't say this, but what he was thinking, I'm sure, is we're not going to do anything. And he prayed. And when he prayed, well, let me just read it to you in verses 15 through 17 of 2 Kings chapter 6. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' God hath prepared things for us and invited us to see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." They were there all the time, folks. But the young servant couldn't see them until Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes." Now, aren't we that way a lot of times? We sense that they're there. We feel the power of God in our lives. But somehow or another, we just can't see the chariots of fire around the mountain until God takes a hand in it and opens their eyes to it. That's the human flesh interfering with us, folks. And we live like that. We do that ourselves sometimes. Now, there's another reality in our present everyday world, then. That reality is so well represented by those chariots of fire around the mountain, around Elisha and the servant. So there is another reality in our everyday world. And it's a reality that we have difficulty seeing, yet God has said the Spirit reveals them unto us. But we know, as I've already pointed out, that reality is sometimes stymied, it is sometimes blotted, sometimes made to be almost invisible by our earthy, our own interpretation of the current reality, our earthiness that we live in day by day. Now, another thing that we notice about this is that we're trained by our human upbringing and the very human nature that we possess to hear what is within the frequency range of hearing for the carnal creature. That is, going back to what I said a little bit ago about the dog whistle versus other sounds. We're taught from childhood to hear the frequency of carnal things. Your daddy and mama taught you to. My daddy and mama taught me to. We were taught to hear earthy sounds. And yet, because of that, we grow up with our ears attuned to those earthy things. And this hinders us hearing the things of God, the things that He has prepared for us that love Him. This is the way we live. This is what we're afflicted by. So at our best, we have conflict and difficulty hearing messages from the spirit world of God. Why do you think you have so much trouble reading your Bible, folks? You might say, well, I read it every day. Why do you think you have so much trouble reading your Bible and comprehending, really hearing the voice of the Spirit of God coming out of these words? Why do you think? Well, here's part of the answer. We've been taught and raised up, and we live in a human community that hears things real well that's on the frequency of the earthy, but not so well on the frequency of the spiritual. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, if you read all of the 20th chapter of Exodus, you find a story there about Moses and God and the children of Israel. And God was talking to the children of Israel. You know, you'll remember that they got so scared they couldn't do that anymore and had Moses do the listening for them. But God was talking to the children of Israel there in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. And Exodus 20 and verse 1 says, "And God spake all these words." And then it goes on in the next verse is saying what words He spoke. And if you go back previous to chapter 20, it tells what words that were spoken. In verse 22 of that same chapter, God says to Moses, "Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." God talks to His people, and those words can be heard, but the question remains, what gets in the way? What is the difference between where we could be hearing and where we are hearing? That's that human character, folks, that gets in the way. I don't know how many of us are reminded or remind ourselves or have the Holy Spirit remind us that in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Scripture tells us that God spoke in different ways in times past, but in these days has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. And we hear those words, don't we? We hear them in here by the Holy Spirit. We read them here, and the voice of the Spirit of God speaks to us. So there's a lesson to be learned about our condition, and that is this, that there are words from God to us, folks, words about the things that He has prepared for us. They contain messages about those things, both things that we are now enjoying, things that we are now experiencing, and things that are to come for us in the hereafter. We sometimes assume that message in our text is about what's coming for us. That's not what it's about. It's about what we're receiving now. What is our blessing from God? How many blessings there are? What shape and size and form they take, and blessings yet to come in the hereafter. They're about it all of it. And so We've seen God's message to us. There are words from God to us. They contain the messages about what He has prepared for us. But our natural man interferes with the hearing of those things. And let all the congregation say amen, because that's exactly what we live under. We have to listen then. We have to listen with the ears of the new creature. That's how we get around that natural man. Now the third thing that we think about in regard to this is, even when we're confronted with the realities of the spiritual world, God's world, and what goes on beyond the confines of the earthy flesh, when we are confronted with the realities of those spiritual things, we have barriers of unbelief or skepticism still lurking in our hearts. Folks, don't deny it. This preacher has to say, yes, sir, it's there. We have a certain amount of Adamic skepticism or doubt in our hearts many times. When the promises of God are laid before us, we say, yeah, I know He's promised that, but that's the way this old man works, isn't it? Now, this is not anything new either. Unless you feel like you're a subhuman in regard to that, let me just remind you of something that happened to the apostles in Mark chapter 6, verses 49 through 52. There they were out at sea. Big storm. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And as they see Him, they are scared to death. They saw Him, and the Bible says they were troubled. And that's an understatement, because they were fearful. And as soon as He got within sight, He talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then the Bible tells us there in Mark chapter 6, verse 51, He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Amen. Wow. The Savior came walking on the water? Notice what verse 52 of this chapter tells us about them. It'll make us, it doesn't excuse us, but it helps us to understand that wherever God's people are found, we can find and discover that thing about doubt, or that hardness of heart, that skepticism that keeps us from totally embracing what God has for us. Notice verse 52 says, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves. Or in other words, they didn't even think about the miracle of the loaves. What's walking on the water compared to feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread? What's to be compared? I mean, if He can do that, He can certainly walk on water. But they never considered the miracle of the loaves, and that verse ends with this phrase. It's a shame to us, and I'm sure it was to them. It says, for their heart was hardened. Doesn't mean they were in total unbelief. It means they were skeptical. What doesn't it? It means that somehow or another it just didn't sink in that this Savior had all power and could do all things, and a walk on the water was nothing to Him. Nothing whatsoever. And so, here's a lesson for us in this as we get ready to close. We've seen God work. We've seen our God walk on the water, folks, if you will. But our understanding is often so shallow, our faith so weak, and as a result of those things, sometimes our heart is hardened with skepticism or doubt, hardened to the point that we are limited by what we can imagine, what we can grasp about the enormity of God's kingdom, His capacity to do, and all the amazing, glorious things He has already done and prepared for them that love Him. I do want to remind us in closing that God has told us in our text that He has prepared for us these great things, and He has prepared those things for His people that He classifies as them that love Him. And the question is this. Here today, right now, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love the great God of heaven? If you do, this is the promise to you also. If you don't, think about what you don't have, what you could have, simply by repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.